Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting. Good morning, everyone. This is Faith Radio Mornings for the 6th of November here as part of the Faith Radio Network. We do special interest topics and the news of the day from a Christian standpoint, trying to stay updated on all the events of the world, which seems these days with all the voices crashing through our phones and our computers to be next to impossible. But we'll do what we can here on Faith Radio Mornings to sort through all these different headlines and topics and tensions and feel-good stories, all from a Christian perspective where we'll fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, so we can walk this whole thing out with real hope that we are part of a kingdom that knows no end. I am your host for the show, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and if you listen regularly, you know I'm joined in studio by Rachel Sutton, who runs the sound and the board, and of course Paul Perot in the newsroom, and I've got all these stacks of papers on my desk to sort through this morning. We'll never get to everything in 2 hours, but we certainly will try, and I love how many guests they bring into this program for you as listeners, for me as the host, that are just from around the country, and they bring a variety of perspectives, but they too most often have their eyes fixed on Jesus. And so whether you tend towards the right or to the left on theological or political issues, we'll try to run in that middle lane a bit between both of them as we talk about these topics. And of course, we'd love to hear from you all throughout the morning. Love the texts and the phone calls, whether you agree or disagree. That part doesn't matter. We just love being on the journey with you together. And so you can call or you can text at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And because it's Tuesday morning, I see that on my screen we have Tommy Binion from the Heritage Foundation and also writes for the Daily Signal. And he joins me almost every Tuesday morning out of Washington, D.C. to talk specifically about some of the topics of interest that are happening in our nation's capital. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning. Great to be with you on Election Day.
I'm so glad it's a Tuesday morning that you're here, Tommy. This is it right here. I mean, I'm assuming that I ask you often about the buzz and the atmosphere of Washington, D.C. I've got to believe you woke up to a pretty buzzy arena around you.
Yeah, you know, it is a there is a lot of intrigue and interest. You know, the understanding as of about yesterday had sort of crystallized that we were going to see huge turnout in this midterm election, which is unusual for a midterm. And I think people are excited to find out once and for all whether the polls have been right all along or whether there is some systematic error in them. And then looking forward to find out who's going to be in control of the House and who's going to be in control of the Senate next year. I think there has been speculation on that question for 2 years to the day, and the speculation ends tonight.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. I know I'll be up late watching some of the results pour in. And, Tommy, I have to admit that the prospect of long lines, and that's what we're hearing, is the turnout is off the hook right now. And the long lines maybe are a bit of a deterrent for me to go to the polls. We will go today, but I just thought, oh, how long are we going to have to wait in line, maybe in the rain here in Minneapolis, Minnesota? But there was some good news on this, that if you find yourself in a long voting line, whether during early voting or today on Election Day, Pizza to the Polls will deliver free pizzas to your polling station. Here's how it works. If you're stuck in line, go on the organization's website, polls.pizza, enter a link to a social media post showing evidence of a long line, like a tweet or Instagram, as well as the address of the polling place and your phone number or email if you want updates as to the status of your pizza. Then they'll order you a pizza from the local shop and send it your way. Tommy, it's that simple. The pizza's for everyone. Voters, volunteers, kids there with their parents. Even if you are a passersby and you're not voting, you can get some free pizza today, Tommy. This is some of the best news I think I've ever heard.
It's free pizza?
Free pizza.
And it's for everybody in line?
It says that the nonprofit website has raised $66,000 and has delivered 2,873 pizzas so far.
This is the greatest country on planet Earth. That is just awesome. I'm so happy you pointed that story out. That is amazing. Let's go, America.
I know. It is as good as it gets right there. We can do a little crowdfunding for pizza for all. It should be pretty exciting. Tommy, tweet me some photos if you're in line later today and they got the free pizza getting delivered.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to be in line at 7:30 in the morning, so I doubt there'll be any pizza. But if there is, I will be the first to let you know.
Yeah, no question. Pepperoni slices are a little aggressive at that hour. Well, it's Tommy Binion of the Heritage Foundation. Tommy, take a short break. We will dive into some of the nuances of the election coverage today, as well as some other news out of Washington, D.C., including the ongoing trade war between China and the United States. Delighted to have Tommy Binion of the Heritage Foundation joining us first here on Faith Radio Mornings.
I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the Capitol.
Well, of course, Capitol Hill is where we find Tommy Binion joining us each morning here on Faith Radio Mornings, each Tuesday morning, I should say, covering some of the political issues and economic topics of the day out of Washington, D.C. And Tommy, I'd be curious. I mean, you referenced it that 2 years ago, there was quite a bit of surprise in our country in terms of what was going to happen. I remember exactly where I was when I was watching the polling results coming in from Florida. And as it swung back and forth between Clinton and Trump, and then suddenly it was called for Trump, there was this sort of, wow, this something could be afoot here. And we're going to see a lot of that kind of thing again tonight, aren't we?
I think so. It's a little different because it comes in one piece at a time, one race at a time. And, of course, you know, to control the majority of the House, you've got to get up to 218 seats, one seat at a time. The big question for me tonight is, are the polls right? If they are, then the Democrats are going to control the majority in the House. Or has there been some systematic error, which I believe there was a systematic error in the 2016 polls, obviously. They showed Hillary Clinton was destined to be president, and she, of course, is not. Is that systematic error still in the polls? Are they still oversampling certain populations who are likely to vote Democrat and undersampling certain populations that are likely to vote for the Republicans? We're going to find out tonight. That to me is the most interesting question.
Yeah, certainly it doesn't seem like there is any real critical analysis done. It was almost as if this whole thing was a mistake, that really there are some things that should have been changed but weren't in terms of the analysis in 2016. So I think it's pretty likely we see some polling errors today, but it's going to be interesting. The other side of it is that I know the Democrats have quite a bit of hope today, given early turnout, and especially early turnout among young people, that at least the polling would suggest are going to trend more towards the Democratic vote.
Yeah, and I think we're going to learn more about that as the day goes on and tonight. Who exactly is driving the higher turnout? There is evidence that turnout is up among young people, but there's evidence that turnout is up amongst every category of voter you could possibly imagine. So I don't know that I'm ready to conclude that that it is young people driving record turnout. That would be unprecedented. That would be great for our country, but that would be unprecedented. And the Democrats have long bet that they could turn out that age group and have been sort of famously wrong over the years. So we'll find out tonight if they were right this year. We don't know yet.
Well, it certainly is going to be interesting to see. Obviously, I know that we're all kind of waiting for those results. I see that there's quite a bit of division, obviously, relative to it, and that division sometimes manifests itself among public figures, including somebody like Jim Carrey. I don't know if you saw his tweet last night towards Senator Ted Cruz, but he said, go Democrats, vote like there's no tomorrow. Let's make this Tuesday like the end of every great vampire movie. Pull back the curtains and let the sunshine turn all those bloodsuckers to dust. And so... Yeah, the level of discourse, Tommy, isn't always helpful in these situations, is it?
Does that work? I mean, are there people in Texas that are going, oh, okay, yeah, let me just run out to the polls and vote like Jim Carrey told me to? You know, I think that Americans take voting a little more seriously than that. And, you know, some fly-in from Hollywood that is sort of lecturing and hectoring all at the same time, I don't think that works. I think that's more of a symptom of the problem than a solution to it. I think that by and large, Americans are educated voters, and they're not. I think they're frustrated by the level of discourse in their country. They're not necessarily motivated by it. I think they want all of that nastiness to go away, and they want to judge candidates on the issues. They are sort of bombarded with noise about, you know, this candidate said that or that candidate did this other thing, and they really just want to focus on what's important to them. And that's why Election Day is so great, right? Because they get to go in there, they get to pull the curtain behind them, and they get to exercise their constitutional rights. And Jim Carrey doesn't go in there with them, frankly. That's why Election Day is so great.
Well, I'll be curious, Tommy, too. I mean, when he had some, I think, subsequent tweets that talked about, let's not pretend or play games anymore, Democrats. Let's just go all in for socialism. And certainly it does seem like a lot of the energy on the Democratic side of it in some of these races, including the governorship of Florida, is where we see a lot of the energy is towards very socialistic kinds of ideas. If that does win the day, at least in the House of Representatives, does that put a lot of pressure on Nancy Pelosi to move even further left than maybe she's been to try to appeal to that energy and demographic?
You know, yes, it will. But what's true about Nancy Pelosi is she's going to be pulled in four or five different directions. There is a hardcore group of socialists in the Democratic Party in the House. There's also a group of moderates from the Midwest that, you know, they have suburban and rural districts that are seeing people not in the big cities, and they're going to be pulling her towards the center. No matter how big her majority is, if she has a majority, she's going to have a really hard time holding that together. The expectations, the various expectations on the Democratic side that they would be able to impeach Donald Trump and enact Medicare for All, a socialized medicine system in this country, and totally remake the country with a House majority next year, and the simultaneous expectation from others in her conference that they would sort of triangulate with the president and find ways to work together is going to be a very difficult thing for her to manage and a very interesting thing for us to watch.
Well, and I wanted to ask you about that, too. If she does win the majority or the Democrats do win the House, is it possible, Tommy, that it's a be careful what you wish for sort of scenario, because the economy is roaring along at an unprecedented rate? And that, of course, tends to be what we see as one of the most important reasons that voters vote is around the economy. And the president had this to say yesterday.
How can they be opposed to the strongest economy we've ever had? How can they be opposed to the greatest unemployment numbers in the history of our country?
If there's any sense, Tommy, that if the Democrats do take power in the House and or the Senate and the economy begins to maybe lessen again or stagnate again, I mean, that's going to set them up for some pretty rough roads in 2020.
Absolutely. I think the economy is extraordinarily important. And one thing we know about voting behavior is you don't get rewarded necessarily for a great economy, which the Republicans have absolutely have right now. And they're not necessarily going to reap huge rewards in electoral gains. But you absolutely get punished for a slow or stagnant economy. And if that's what a Democrat majority in the House leads to, is a slow or stagnant economy, then we know that they will get punished for that. I think Americans understand we want free markets and free people, and that will lead to prosperity. It's a pretty simple recipe that free market capitalism in this country has led to for centuries. I think they know that socialism is the antithesis of that. And so I think there are maybe a handful of people who want the socialism that the Democrats are offering, but I think by and large Americans understand what it was that led to our prosperity in the first place, and that is our unprecedented level of economic liberty throughout the history of our country.
It's Tommy Vignan of the Heritage Foundation and the Daily Signal. Tommy, we'll take a short break. Let's continue the economic conversation when we come back, though, because there are some headlines coming out of trade negotiations between the United States and China relative to the tariffs that have been levied upon China, and see maybe if there's going to be some relaxing of that. So we'll talk more about the economy next with Tommy Vignan. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings here at 21 minutes past the hour. We are talking with Tommy Binion of the Heritage Foundation and also the Daily Signal. And Tommy, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the economy, and certainly the president has changed and shifted some longstanding open trade policies with China and levying some pretty substantial tariffs. And I run a business myself, Tommy. We certainly have had to navigate the 10 to 25% tariff rate that he's levied. But at the same time, the results seem to be that China has lost a lot of leverage and its ability to manufacture, and the United States seems to be growing. So it seems like it's been a pretty effective policy to this point.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, and I think that that's how the president sees it, is a tactic for resetting the relationship with China. You know, we are a global superpower. The United States is. We're an economic superpower, and I think the president has for a long time viewed China as a threat to that. But he's also viewed the relationship the United States has with China as improperly balanced or improperly imbalanced towards the Chinese. And some of these tactics, including the tariffs, are a way of resetting that relationship with China. Now, I think it's also convenient because the president is fine with tariffs. It's not some stick he hates to use. I think we need to take the president at his word that he is that he also sees value in the tariffs. So if it happens that he needs to that he is dealing them in a negotiation, that's fine with him. But I also think if we listen to what he says about trade, it's true that it's also totally fine with him to leave those tariffs in place.
Well, I see that there's a summit at the end of November here in which he'll be meeting with the Chinese president, at least economic advisor Larry Kudlow will. And they did signal the possibility that the tariffs would be relaxed or no new tariffs levied, depending on if China does change some of its policy. And again, Tommy, I'll say there's been times in our business when our engineers and people that are very creative have come up with some really interesting solutions to different issues. And we do know that if we send it to China, it's likely to get stolen and replicated quite quickly. So this is part of the big problem, isn't it, is the intellectual theft.
Absolutely. Intellectual theft is a big problem with China. And you're right. That is one of the issues that will be on the table. If there is a meeting between the two presidents in Argentina, or if it is just the National Economic Advisor, you know, it really doesn't matter. That is one of the things that is at stake between the two countries, that the tariffs on both sides, there is a lot to deal on. You know, what we know about President Trump is that he knows that and he cares. He knows that about your business. He knows that you're concerned about IP theft. He knows how crushing it can be to your business, and he's concerned about that. It's personally motivating him, and there's some chance on December 1st that he's sitting across the table from the Chinese leader. As an American, that's comforting to me. I feel like he's fighting for us. I don't agree with all of his trade policies, but I think that it comes from he is driven by a love for this country and an understanding about how our economy works. And I'm comforted by that. We have seen it on the national security front, the meetings with North Korea and so on and so forth. It'll be great to see it on the economic front if it does happen.
When you reference national security too, Tommy, and that does shift my mind over to some of what's happening south of our border with many caravans coming to the United States and the president sending a military force to that end, it sure seems like one of the main issues on the ballot this time around does have to do with national security and immigration and whether there's going to be an abolishing of ICE and border control or whether there's going to be an increase in it.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's two things, really. One is immigration is a top issue. One of the top three issues for almost all voters is immigration. And the second, the really important point to make there is that the two parties couldn't have two more different viewpoints. Republicans want to seal the border. They want to adjust our legal immigration system. They want to enforce our immigration laws against illegal immigrants that are currently here or would be coming across the border. They see great national security threat down there in terms of drugs coming in, guns coming in. They are really driven by a security concern there. On the other side, what the Democrats are offering is totally different. They're wanting a path to citizenship for illegal aliens that are here. They want to focus on border security at all, they They use it as leverage to do the things they want to do in terms of interior enforcement. They care very deeply about DACA. So it is a top issue, but the proposals and the concerns that are motivating both sides, animating both sides, are completely different.
It's going to be fascinating to see, that's for sure. I know that you'll be staying updated all throughout the day, Tommy, on this. And we referenced the free pizza at the top of our segment there. The way I figure it is I think Amazon Prime can get anything to anybody within 2 hours these days. So if you wouldn't mind putting maybe a pepperoni, onion, and bacon pizza in the mail for me here early this morning, I'm sure it'll get to Minneapolis by the time I'm voting.
I will see what I can do about that. I'll take my leftover pizza from the other night. I'll put a stamp on it.
I think that sounds outstanding. That's Tommy Binion of the Heritage Foundation, as well as the Daily Signal. Tommy, it's always great to have you on the program on Tuesday mornings. And, boy, I can't wait to talk next week to see what has happened.
Me too. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, we'll take a break here for Lighten Up and Bottom of the Hour News. And when we come back, we'll change the conversation to some issues around parenting our kids sociologically and physically, emotionally. And we'll talk with Dr. Rosemary Stein on things related to kids and screen time, as well as whether we should be drinking all these monster energy drinks. Boy, just so many things in the news today, of course, with this election cycle and the midterm elections happening throughout our country today. I see that down in Alabama, you could see more public displays of the Ten Commandments in that state if a proposed constitutional amendment passes. During today's midterm election, voters will decide whether to amend the state constitution so that the Ten Commandments can be displayed on public property. If passed, the proposal could lead to more displays of the commandments in public schools and on government land. The displays would still have to comply with federal constitutional requirements. There are so many currents and tensions and pushing and pulling on so many different levels in our country. It's going to be a really interesting day today, to say the least. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we were joined by Mark Galley, who is the editor-in-chief for Christianity Today, and he was talking about the importance of studying Scripture and hearing from the voices of Scripture versus all those voices in technology.
One of the things that technology cannot help us with is, of course, the moral and ethical shape of our lives, and especially the spiritual shape of our lives. That seems to be something that we can learn from the past, but every age has to, in a sense, learn afresh who God is, what He's calling me to do with my life. And that just requires not just being relevant or not just having an iPhone and an iWatch. Obviously, it requires a different type of human experience that requires reading, especially of Scripture, prayer, fellowship with other Christians. And that's very low tech.
Loved having Mark on the program yesterday, just to get somebody who has the perspective and the stature that would be leading Christianity Today. He hears a lot and reads a lot and sees a lot in our country, and certainly his encouragement was, while we deal with the realities of today, that we keep our eyes fixed on those things that matter, those things that are eternal, and have a reality about them that will just never end. So if you want to catch that entire segment with Mark yesterday, you can head to myfaithradio.com, search for Christianity Today, Mark Galley, or anything on the Faith Radio Morning Show, and you certainly will come up with that entire 16-minute segment. Well, I see that we have regular Tuesday contributor Dr. Rosemary Stein on the line as well, and I'm going to ask Rosemary about whether we should be giving our kids these energy drinks to the extent that we do.
The word "if" is conditional, and we shouldn't use it towards God. This is Jim Garlow. You may have said it yourself. If you're God, why did I lose my job, my health, or my loved one? Now, the answer is easy if you're well-versed in the Bible. We live in a broken world in what I'd like to call a sin between time. But is it okay to cry out to the Lord anyway? Well, yes, as long as you substitute the word "since" for "if." As in, since you're God, I know you're all-powerful and you love me enough to have sent Jesus to die on the cross so I'll have eternal life. Since that's true, how will these present circumstances work towards my ultimate good and your glory? God, I'm having trouble seeing it from here. Then trust, and He will provide a sovereign answer in His time. This is Jim Garlow. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Medicine go down, just a spoonful.
And, of course, the Mary Poppins music means that Dr. Rosemary Stein will be joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings. Dr. Stein does a great job with a clinic on the East Coast that really helps our children and parents and families walk through and navigate all these childhood years from not just a physical perspective, but an emotional, spiritual, and psychological perspective as well. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
Always great to have you. I'm curious your thoughts on the level of pizza we should or should not be eating. I know that if you're standing in line at the polling booths this afternoon and evening, that there's an organization that will deliver free pizza to you. But boy, with busy families, we kind of lean on pizza a lot at the dinner table, don't we?
We do, and you know, there's a place for it. Just try to make sure that you balance out and maybe put a couple of vegetables on that pizza once in a while. It's not the most appetizing of choices to put on a pizza, but you might want to just a couple of pieces of some veggies, onions, peppers, mushrooms might make it a little less dangerous for your system.
I love it. Have you seen over the last maybe 5-10 years, Rosemary, sort of a rise in gluten issues among families and with their kids that come into your clinic? I don't remember ever even hearing the word gluten growing up, but now it does seem like there's a pretty significant rise in sensitivity and intolerance altogether.
Well, yes, I have. And on the other hand, I think that a lot of us don't even realize that we have a sensitivity or a difference in our body with gluten because we've gotten so used to it. So that sometimes when families are having a real tough time with gastro issues, then I'll tell them to cut back or eliminate gluten foods. And they say, wow, I never thought that it was affecting me that way. And then on the other hand, I'll have families that they decide that they're going to not have the gluten in their diets, and they switch over and just, you know, stay that way. So I think that a lot of these gluten issues are because we might be using some engineered not only wheat but other things that have a different processing and different just the way that process it. So it really has increased, but not but it has changed the way that we are thinking about gluten, because like you said, we never really thought about it this way.
Well, it's fascinating in terms of how much it matters that we put things in our body. And I see that there has been some pretty interesting research about energy drinks that has come out recently. And of course, when I was growing up, and maybe you as well, Mountain Dew was sort of the one that was sort of seen as off the charts as creating this sort of energy flow in the body. But now we see Rockstar and Monster and Red Bull drinks pretty common among youth. And Rosemary, here's a list of some of the ingredients in one of the energy drinks, for example. It says that it has carbonated water, citric acid, Panax ginseng root, sodium citrate, guana seed, and then we've got a who's who of chemicals here in cyanocobalamin, niacinamide, and it goes on from there with several things that I couldn't pronounce those, and I certainly couldn't pronounce the next things on the list. Tell us a little bit about the research that's going on about the negative effects of having an energy drink.
Well, an energy drink is really like a huge burst of sugar together with some stimulating chemicals. And because of that, it not only creates for a hyperglycemic or a huge sugar burst, but it also creates a neurological sort of experience where together with the ginseng and some other stimulants, you really get a high. So the sugar and these stimulants together work to really give you a rush. And so whenever you have a rush like that, you're going to have a down because you're using up all of your chemicals in your sort of your neurological stimulators at that time, and then you get that down. And then guess what happens when you have that down? It's during the day and you're in school, you need another rush. So these kids are maybe doing this 2 or 3 times a day to their body, so rush down. And so according to the article, one of the things that they did is that they realized that our our arteries and our veins are changed, especially our arteries and the ones that pump the most blood to different parts of our body are changed after these sort of ups and downs that these drinks are creating, and may be decreasing the size of our arteries. So in the long run with these kids, I mean, are we leading them down to the path of heart disease? But I'm looking at the other side, where these rushes on their brains are not a good thing, because you're almost making them addicted to rush and down and rush and down. And so the combination of the two things, what you're doing to their heart, but also what you're doing to their brain and their neurological system, is very, very dangerous, to especially to children.
Well, and that was one of the comments that I read coming out of some of the research, Dr. Stein, is that they tend to have the caveat or qualification that says it's dangerous for anybody, but, and then that quote, especially for children. Tell our listeners a bit about what's going on within the children's developmental process, where some of these kinds of external chemicals and some of the sugar rushes really can impact them in some pretty profound ways.
And kids are not just little adults. So we think as adults that, okay, you know, if I felt like that with that, then the kids will feel like this, and it does not. It has some longstanding results that they wouldn't have necessarily in adults. So that it changes the way that they respond. It changes the way that their brain makeup is. It changes the way that their responses are forever. To jump to the marijuana issue, when a child is exposed to marijuana, then, you know, if he stops, he can get back to an almost normal for that child state, but not completely where his baseline was. Same thing happens for these products. Okay, when you stop, you can get close to your baseline, but you're never quite going to be where you were. So it's best for kids to stay away from these products and for us to warn them. These are not good things for your outcome. And kids don't care about outcome. And that's what's really ironic about it. Kids don't care about themselves when they're 25 or 30 necessarily, but we do. So we have to be the ones to use that judgment and tell them these are not good things. You see other kids doing it, but they're not good.
Talking with Dr. Rosemary Stein this morning, who joins us regularly on Faith Radio Mornings to talk about tips on how we can help with our kids growing up, whether we're parents or grandparents and have kids in our lives. From a social and psychological and spiritual perspective, Dr. Stein gives us some great advice. And Rosemary, when we come back from break, I would love to get your perspective on what you just referenced. And that was sort of the increased use of marijuana and especially the legalization of it and the impact that can have on our kids. So more with Dr. Stein coming up on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings, here at about 11 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm your host, Peter Kapsner, and we are joined in the line by Dr. Rosemary Stein. And we've been talking a bit about energy drinks this morning. And Rosemary, in the last segment, you also referenced sort of the impact that marijuana can have on our lives. And I see on the ballot today as part of the election cycle, especially in the listening audience of Fargo, North Dakota, Bismarck, North Dakota, that on the ballot is the possibility of legalizing recreational marijuana. And Rosemary, this is one of those things when something becomes legal, there's almost sort of this tacit admission that it can at least be used or experimented with. And it's some of what we've seen in energy drinks. Just because they're on the shelf and available, we assume they're good for us. Could we see something like that begin to happen over time with marijuana as it gets to be more and more legalized?
Oh, absolutely. It already is the mindset with a lot of the kids just experimenting with it in states where it isn't legal. Their key phrase is, weed isn't that bad, man, when I talk to them about marijuana. So imagine the impact that it will have when it is legal, because what you're tacitly saying is exactly that it's not so bad, and that in small amounts you can control yourself and that it's going to be okay. But you know what? On developing minds, it's not okay. And I've seen the impact of marijuana on families, And of course, there are people that we assume, or they assume, that they can control their use of marijuana. But by and far, a lot of the families that I'm seeing are having trouble controlling that. And I see a lot of ladies that are pregnant that are not able to stop their use of marijuana, and then that has an impact on their on their unborn babies. But I see that in the homes where marijuana is okay, the children indulge in it at a much younger age, and that has impact on them as well.
Well, and to your point that you referenced before the break, that if when people do maybe get addicted or have regular use of marijuana, it's at least hopeful on some level that their cognition and other things that were impacted by marijuana begin to sort of normalize, at least at some level.
And I've seen that transition where they decide, which is a very difficult decision. We've struggled a lot with our patients, and I can tell you a story about a young man who had a terrible addiction and almost died, and it took him about 2 years to be able to get from the point where he almost had killed himself by actually using marijuana mixed in with other drugs and alcohol. And we really had to battle it out until now is where he is drug-free, and he's able to work, and he was able to finish high school. But it took 2 years, and you can see that there's a lapse. Still at this point where he hasn't been using drugs for about a year, there's a lapse. He has to search all the way in the back of his mind for that word, for that next thought. And imagine if you start out that way, where you have to search for your next word or thought. That should be something that you leave it to old people like me. So this is not a good thing. We're really changing the outcome of these kids' lives, and I would really ask the listening audience to think about and prayerfully consider what you're voting for before you do that.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important to think about the long-term impact of a given situation or choice in the moment, Rosemary, in terms of how it plays itself out in the future. And certainly when it comes to marijuana use, it's how can they talk about these things with their kids? Because I think we're aware of the difficulties, we're aware of the negative consequences, but when push comes to shove and our child comes home maybe at 3:30, 4:30 in the afternoon and is busy that evening, how do parents get space to even just talk about these things?
And when I think one of the most important things is to make sure that you have a relationship with your kid. It's going to be very difficult to jump to that point if you don't sit around the table, if you're not having conversations with your kid, to just say, I hope you're not doing marijuana because it's bad for you. They're going to roll their eyes. They're going to think, well, you know, here's my fuddy-duddy parent saying what fuddy-duddy parents are supposed to say. But if you're making sure that you as the parent are making that relationship and sticking to it, and it's painful to sit with a teenager sometimes, and their conversations are just, you know, not intelligible sometimes. But you got to get through it. You got to sit down. You got to have them at the table. You have to make sure that you make time to have meals with your kid, that when you wake up early, you have breakfast. And that's where you constantly bring it up, and you say, what's going on at school? Do you know about any kids? But the easy way is never going to yield the outcome that you want. On the other hand, you put in the time, and you're going to get a kid who's going to come around and say, you know, these things are happening at school, and I'd like your thought. Oh, my goodness, that's an amazing moment when your kid comes back and says, I'd like your thought, and they're only 15 or 16, but it does happen. And that's when you open up the conversation. You say, kid, you know, I love you more than anything that I have in this world, but I know that this is not going to be something that's going to be good for your future, and your future is what I'm really invested in right now.
We're talking with Dr. Rosemary Stein about just different dimensions and issues that affect our parenting today with our young people. And Dr. Stein, you and I do talk about the use of screen time from time to time on the program. And I saw a pretty interesting headline this time around that maybe screen time isn't all negative, especially when it comes to more of a brain game kind of screen time. And in fact, there's some research that suggests that Tetris, of all things, can be helpful for the brain, especially if you can get into a state of what psychologists call flow, in which you're completely absorbed or engaged in some kind of activity. I don't know. Tetris, is it good for our brains, Rosemary?
Well, that would sort of not really be Dr. Rose approved. So I would not tell my patients that, you know, get on Tetris and try to do it slowly. I'm more of the type that would tell a parent to teach the children how to write cursive. That's not exciting. Of course it's not exciting, but, you know, writing cursive does slow the brain down, and actually, you know, once you're doing it well, it is kind of relaxing because it can be sort of art. So I'm going to shy away from the Tetris thing because I don't want to put the Tetris down. But I think there are some good ways to calm a kid's brain down and not have to use stimulants like Ritalin. Cursive might be one. Reading slowly. Imagine that, reading a book slowly and reading it out loud might also sort of slow your brain down and be very relaxing. That's a way that Hannah and I, my daughter, would finish off our day, is that we would read slowly to each other, and we often chose Narnia books.
That's a great book to read through, obviously, getting kids absorbed like that, Dr. Stein. And we have a little bit less than a minute left. I don't know if you played Tetris growing up, but I do remember after I had played it for several hours on the 8-bit Nintendo that I would look at the trees and the buildings and everything else around me, and I began to try to piece it all together as if they were falling pieces again.
No, I didn't. I didn't play it, so I didn't quite get the gist of the articles, and that's why I probably couldn't get into it as well. I was more a Pac-Man, and Pac-Man was not good for relaxation.
Yeah, when those ghosts are coming after you, there's nothing like that can heighten the tension like that. Well, we love having you on the program, Dr. Stein, all the different tips. And if people want to contact you directly, where can they go?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. You could look on my Facebook page. It's Rosemary Stein, MD, or you can look for me online. I do have a book. It's called Who Needs a Village? It's a Mom Thing, because I really do believe that we have to strengthen moms and dads before we go out and try to change our kids and our country.
Oh, I love it. Have a great week, Rosemary. We'll look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Thank you.
We'll take a break here and wrap up our first hour of our show for Faith Radio Mornings. Always a great conversation with Dr. Stein about parenting. And when we come back for the start of next hour, I'll be joined by Nicole Phillips, and we'll talk about increasing kindness in our relationships.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.